Will COVID-19 finally catalyze the way we exploit digital options in assessment and feedback? The typical child will learn to read first, then talk, then read, then write. In life, most of us tend to use these abilities proportionately in roughly the same order. Listen most, speak next most, read next most frequently, and write the least. Yet in educational assessment and feedback, and especially in higher education, we value writing above all else. After writing comes reading, then speaking, and least assessed is listening. In other words, we value most what we use least. I realise this is a huge generalisation and that there are nuances and arguments to be had around this, but it's the broad principle and tendencies here I'm interested in. Given the ways in which technology makes such things as recording and sharing audio and video much easier than even a few years ago, it's perhaps surprising how conservative we are in HE when it comes to changing assessment and feedback practices. We are, though, at the threshold of an opportunity whereby our increased dependency on technology, the necessarily changing relationships we're all experiencing due to the ongoing implications of COVID-19 and the inclusive access and pedagogic affordances of the digital mean, we may finally be at a stage where change is both inevitable and inexorable. In 2009, while working at Bradford, I did some research on using video and audio feedback on a postgraduate teaching program. I was amazed at the impact, the increased depth of understanding of the content of the feedback and the positivity with which it was received. I coupled it with a delayed grade release too. Process was listen to or watch the feedback, email me with the grade band the feedback suggested, and then I would return the actual grade and use the similarity or difference, usually in fact there was pretty close alignment, to prompt discussion about the work and what could be fed forward. A few really did not like that process, but this I think was more to do with not liking the additional process involved in finding out the grades they'd been given rather than the feedback medium itself. Only one student out of 39 preferred written feedback as default, and this included three deaf students who I arranged for them to have BSL signed feedback recorded synchronously with an interpreter while I spoke the words on video. Most of the students not only favoured it, they actively sought it. Whilst most colleagues were happy to experiment or at least consider the pros, cons and effort needed, at least one senior colleague was a little frosty, hinting that I was making their life more difficult. On balance, I found that once I'd worked through the mechanics of the process and established a pattern, I was actually saving myself perhaps 50% of marking time per script, though there was certainly some front-loading of effort necessary for the first time. I concluded that video feedback was powerful, but at the time too labour and resource intensive, and stuck with audio feedback for most of the students unless video was requested or needed. I continue to use it in varying ways in my teaching, supporting others in their experimentation and above all, persuading the powers that be that it was not only legitimate, but that it was powerful and for many preferable. I also began encouraging students to consider audio and video alternatives to reflective pieces as I worked up a digital alternative to the scale-tipping professional portfolios that were usual end-of-year marking delight. 2 years later, I found myself in a new job back in London and confronted with a very resistant culture. As is not uncommon, it's an embedded faith and dependency on the written word that determines policy and practice rather than research and pedagogy. In performative cultures, written evidence carries so much more weight and trust, apparently irrespective of impact. Research, which is much better and more credible than my own, I should add, has continued to show similar outcomes and benefits. See a summary in Winston and Carles 2019, for example. But the overwhelming majority of feedback is still written, typed. Given the wealth of tools available and the voluminous advocacy generated through the scholarship of teaching and learning potential, and potential of technology in particular, it's often frustrating for me that assessment and feedback practices that embrace the opportunities afforded by digital media seem few and far between. So will there ever be a genuine shift towards employing digital tools for assessment design and feedback? As technology makes these approaches easier and easier, what's preventing it? In many ways, the COVID-19 crisis, the immediate emergency response of remote teaching and assessing, and the way things are shaping up for the future have given a real impetus to notions of innovative assessment. We've seen how many of us were forced to confront our practice in terms of timed examinations and amid inevitable discussions around the proctoring possibilities technology offered. To be clear, I'm not a fan. We saw discussions about effective assessment and feedback processes occurring and reinvigorated interest in how we might do things differently. I'm hoping we might continue those discussions to include all aspects of assessment from the informal, in-session formative activities we do through to the big, high-stakes summatives. Change will not happen easily or rapidly, however. Hargreaves, 2010, argues that a principal enemy of educational change is social and political conservatism. And I would add to that a form of departmental, faculty, or institutional conservatism that errs on the side of caution lest evaluation outcomes are negatively impacted. COVID-19 has disrupted everything. And whilst tensions remain between the conservative, very much of the small C variety in this context, and change-oriented voices, it's clear that recognition is growing of a need to modify rather than transpose pedagogic practices in new environments, and this applies equally to assessment and feedback. In the minds of many lecturers, the technology that is focal to approaches to technology-enhanced learning is also ill-defined and uninspiring. See, for example, Bain 2015. And the frequent decoupling of tech investment from pedagogically informed continuing professional development opportunities, and Timos Panis and I have written about this elsewhere, has often reinforced these tendencies towards pedagogic conservatives. Pragmatism, insight, digital preparedness, skills development, and new ways of working through necessity are combining to reveal a need for and willingness to embrace significant change in assessment practices. As a former program leader on an online PG Cert HE, which is a lecturer training program, I was always in the very fortunate position to collect and share theories, principles, and practices with colleagues, many of whom were novices in teaching. Though, of course, they'd experienced HE as students, they were less likely to have had a more fossilized sense of what assessment and feedback should or could look like. I also have the professional and experiential agency to draw on research-informed practices, not only by talking about them, but through exemplification and modeling. By showing that unconventional assessment and feedback are allowed and can be rewarding, we're able to sow seeds of enthusiasm that lead to a bottom-up, if still slow, shift away from conservative assessment practices. Seeing more colleagues embrace those strategies is rewarding, but I really like to see a lot.